Good morning, everybody. Are you guys doing well this morning? That sounded very convincing. I'm not going to... Are you guys doing well this morning? That's good. Cool. So this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about becoming like Jesus. So with regards to the humility of which Jesus, how he lives and who he is and his character, and actually how we can become like him. And I'm trusting that today, that as we touch on this, that the Holy Spirit would actually reveal things in our hearts and would shake the ground a little bit, and that we would accurately see him, that we would see him rightly, and that at the end of it, we would respond rightly to him. So I actually thought before we get into some scriptures, I would like to actually share a bit of my story. So I realize that a lot of you here might not know all the journey that I've actually been through and the struggles that I've been through. And I thought I'd love to open up with just sharing, hey, this that we're going to talk about, I've lived it and still living it. And I want to be open with you guys and trusting that it'll encourage us actually to open up to what the Lord says. So this is my story of pride. My story of how I struggled with pride. So I grew up in a Christian home. Grew up in church. I was in church my whole life. My parents were involved in worship. And from a young age, because they were involved in worship, I just naturally kind of followed into that with them and was involved in worship, and kind of wherever they went, I was there and involved in it. So I was kind of thrust from early on in front of people. And I remember when I was young, so I started on drums. And as I was playing drums, and I thought the only thing that was going through my mind is it's so cool that I get to play in front of all these people on a Sunday, let alone worship Jesus. I was just like, how cool is it I get to do this? And little did I know that that very thought, that very thing would become an issue that would consume my life for a long period of time. And by the time I got to high school, we had joined a church. So basically my father would go around to different churches where there'd be no worship team, and he'd start a worship team up, train them up, and we'd be there for a while, and then he would eventually move on. And in this new church that we're in, there was no worship team at all. It was literally, the worship team was my dad, myself, and a drum machine. So for those of you who don't know what a drum machine is, it's a little thing where you press play and it goes, you know. So not like that. It was, yeah. Thank you. So this drum machine, that was the worship team. And I remember I was still kind of getting into playing guitar. My dad had kind of forced me to learn guitar, which I'm really grateful for now. Back then I was like, no, Dad, why are you doing this? But he got me into it. And I remember in the time, I transitioned from playing drums now to starting to play guitar on a Sunday. And my dad would play piano and I would play guitar. And my dad would lead all the time. And one day he approached me and was like, I want you to lead this song today. And I was like, there's no way. Because at that stage, my voice was still breaking and I sounded like an animal in distress. So I realized that this is not gonna happen. And I was very defined. I was like, no, Dad, this is not cool, man. This is not cool. But he was like, no, you're gonna do it. And I was kind of like out of obedience. Okay, fine, I'll do it. So I led that song that one Sunday, and slowly but surely every Sunday, my dad's like, you're gonna lead it again. You're gonna lead it again. And eventually kind of he passed the baton. He said, cool, now you're leading worship every Sunday. And kind of handed it over. And so from this, like, 14, 15 years old, I was thrust into this environment of always being in front of people and always doing something and where you're on a stage. And I remember leading worship Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but I realized there was a crack in me. And I didn't know that crack until the last few years when I've been processing this thing. I was leading worship, and yes, we're singing about Jesus and we're glorifying him, but actually what was happening is I was actually glorifying myself, because I was more interested in how I looked. I was more interested in how people saw me rather than singing about him. So it was hidden under this thing of, oh, Jesus is great, but actually it's like there was a thing of, look how great I am. And I remember, I think I was more interested in impressing the people than actually loving Jesus. Now, I was young and didn't think that then, but looking back now, I realized, I was very off the path. But when I finished high school, I went to TMT, which is now Leap in Wellington. And I remember they had this quad area where basically all the students, in that time, all the students kind of lived around this quad area. And there's always traffic, always people moving in and out there. And I remember I would sit and play my guitar strategically in the areas where people could see me play my guitar. And I would, so I would be playing, hoping that people would acknowledge me. Guys, I had a very, very twisted heart, very twisted thing that had rooted itself in me. And another thing in Team T, I remember one of my friends, he always got the opportunity whenever there was like things to lead worship. He was always the guy that got given the opportunity to lead worship. And I remember in my heart, no one else knew this, but in my heart, I was questioning things of like, don't they know that I can also lead worship? Almost like with that rotten attitude of, do you know who I am? And I realized that pride had started to grab a way where I felt I was going in a way where I couldn't. It was like no way out right now. I remember after Team T, I actually joined here 2016, and I interned here. So this has been home for a very long time. Thank you guys for that. And I was still struggling with all that pride, but at this point, it felt like pride had taken its full root. It felt like it had fully consumed my life. And the problem with pride, when it fully takes over, it leads to two things. And in my life, it led to these two things. Is one is self-pity, and one is self-preservation. So if we can look at self-pity, I would lead worship, and if it didn't look like it went well, or you could feel like it was an awkward Sunday, it was difficult today, I would wear that on my shoulders. I would, for the week, I would be depressed about it. I'd be like, I am the worst. This was so terrible. But then also at the same time, when things went well, I'd be like, oh, I did so good. I did amazing. And I was so driven to, and my the way that I felt was driven according to what everyone else, how everyone else reacted. And again, it was in that place of I'm almost like I wanted to entertain you and do well myself and get approval from you guys, actually. The other part of that is self-preservation. Now, because pride had taken root in my heart, you're constantly at this place where you feel like you need to perform. You feel like you can't mess up. You feel like you can't open your life up to anyone else, because if they see what's truly going on here, you're going to get taken out. You're going to be taken off that place where you need to perform. But no one, it's like you don't want to let anyone in. There's a guard up and you say, I will not allow you. And I'm going to portray myself as I'm doing well. But the problem with self-preservation is you're going to crash somewhere. You're going to crash somewhere. And maybe I'm trusting that the Spirit would maybe reveal some of that in our hearts today. Maybe there's some of us where we feel like we need to protect ourselves. I do want to encourage us that somewhere that thing is going to come up. Somewhere that thing is going to... So we'll get back to that story, but I would like to go through just some scriptures of that's the way that I was living, that's the way that I was acting, but that's not the way of Christ. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus is a different character altogether. I was wanting to love Jesus, but I was not reflecting who he was at all. And I'd love to go through some scriptures to point to the person of Jesus. So if we can go Philippians 2, verse 1 to 4. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This is the important part. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit or selfish ambition and conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So if we can go back to that verse 3, where it says, have no selfish ambition or rivalry or conceit. I realized my journey, I'd practiced all these things. I was full of selfish ambition, full of conceit. I would consider myself more significant than others, and I was more interested in myself than the interest of others. Where the way of Christ is the opposite. So what is selfish ambition? Well, selfish ambition is being interested in your own gain and success. What are we living for? Are we interested in my gain or my success, or our gain or our success, or is our hearts to glorify Christ, or our hearts to see others gain, others be successful? Conceit literally means excessive pride in yourself. That was my life story, was excessive pride in myself. I thought of myself so highly, almost felt like I was untouchable. That's how I thought of myself, but that's not the way of Jesus. And then it's in humility, you count others more significant than yourself. Do we truly do that? Do we willingly do so where, like, I would rather count you more significant. I'd rather see you flourish than me try to take the shine. And then being mindful of others' interests instead of just yourself. So very important. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to have interests, but it said be mindful of others. And almost like encouragement is actually consider others' interests over your own interest. And if we can look at the ultimate example of humility, the opposite of my life, the opposite of pride, is from verse 5 to 8. So all these things that are mentioned, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So this is Jesus, God, who willingly humbled himself, took the form, the lowest form of a bondservant, like a slave almost. Willingly lowered himself, came into the form of likeness of men, like you and me. And he was obedient to God the Father, to the point of death, even death on the cross. So let's contrast the two. My life was my gain, my success, how people thought of me, my glory. Where Jesus, who is the one who deserves all the glory, willingly humbles himself and takes the lower way. The ultimate example of humility. The one whose image we're supposed to bear. And I'd like to take it maybe a step further and say within the Trinity, within the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's a culture of humility and honor within that sphere that I feel like we can learn from. And I'd love to touch on each member of the Godhead, each member of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. I'd love to look at John 16, verse 13 to 14. This is Jesus speaking. And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. I love that he will glorify me. Jesus saying the Holy Spirit will glorify him. And it's almost as if the Holy Spirit delights in seeing Jesus get the glory. The Holy Spirit delights in taking our attention, our focus, and pointing it to Christ. Holy Spirit delights in shaping us and molding us so that we can look like Christ because he wants Christ to receive all the glory. I love how the Holy Spirit's not like, okay, I want my piece of the pie. He's not like that. The Holy Spirit is, no, Jesus, look at him. Look at how good he is. Look how glorious he is. He is the one. Look at him. I'll remind you of everything he said, what he taught. I will speak. And then I love this part as well. The Holy Spirit, who is God, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Even he is humble. Even he says, I will only speak what I hear. If we can go to God the Father, so Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God, that is God the Father, has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love how Jesus is the one who comes to earth, the one who humbles himself, takes the form of a servant, the one who takes the cross, who bears the wrath of God, the one who takes all the guilt and shame, all our sin, and he's crucified and he suffers for you and me. And yet, he's the one who has done this, and God says to him, God the Father says, I will make your name. You are the one, the name above all names. I exalt you. I love that God the Father is saying, no, I'm going to make my son's name, the name above all name. Even in that moment, it's look at Jesus, lift him up, glorify him. Everything must be subject to him. Everything must come under him. Love that. That's God the Father saying that. Then we look at Jesus, God the Son. We look at John 1 verse 18. It says, no one has ever seen God the Father. The only God, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So Jesus loves to make who known? The Father. He doesn't want to make himself known. He wants to make the Father known. We can go John 5, verse 19. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So once again, just like the Holy Spirit, Jesus saying that I will only do what the Father says and what the Father does. He humbles himself, he submits himself to God the Father, and he says that I will not take that authority, I will submit myself to him. And if we can go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24 to 28, and I felt like going to the NLT version because it explains it so well, but I feel like this part, I feel like all the scriptures, it just hit me hard when prepping. It says, it's talking about the resurrection, and after that, the end will come when he will turn, this, who is that? He, it's Jesus. He will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things under his authority, that does not include God himself, God the Father, who gave Christ his authority. Then when all things under Jesus' authority, Jesus the Son will put himself under God the Father's authority. So that God the Father, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. So basically what that means is when the end comes, when everything comes to an end, Jesus, who is the name above all names, who is exalted above all, the only name by which can be saved, this glorious Jesus, he himself will say, everything that is mine, I submit to you, Father, even myself. That is who God is. That's who he is. That's his nature, his character. His character is one of humility and honor, where we always try to fight for our own gain. We're always trying to fight for the podium. We're always trying to fight for, if only I was there, if only they could see me, or give me my moment to shine, where Christ is the opposite, where God the Father is the opposite, where the Holy Spirit is the opposite. So the question that I want to ask is, how do we become like him? How do we become like him? How do we build that thing in us? Well, if we could look at Revelation 4, verse 68, the 6 to 8. I know we're going to Revelation, it's hectic, but we're going to get through this. So this is the scene. They're before the throne. God is on the throne, and all these creatures, all these angels are surrounding the throne. And it says, before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like a creature like an ox, the third like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes, all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And I think the key thing is there is, like, why are we in Revelations? Well, the key thing is they are covered in eyes. And all they do 24/7 is look at him. And then respond to him. So how do we become like him? Well, what you give yourself to, you become. What you look at, you become. So my question is, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the world, the world's way of things? Or are we looking at Jesus in his word, where it shows us that he is humble, walks in humility? And when we see him, and when we look at him, and we look at him in his word, when we spend time with him, when we consider him, when we see who he is, we then can see him accurately and respond accurately to him. Meaning that when we see him, we can start to live like him. And if we could go to 1 John, verse 3 to 2, and then we're going to land it. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him. Why? For we will see him as he really is. When the end comes, we will be fully like him. Because why? We will see him accurately. Maybe we can all just close our eyes together. I want us to really have our hearts open to what the Lord wants to do. Father, I pray right now, would you, by your Spirit, would you come and reveal to us all these different areas? Would you come and reveal to us all these things? Maybe where we're struggling with excessive pride. Maybe it's self-preservation. Maybe it's self-pity. We need you desperately. And just while our eyes are closed, one of the other ways that I walked in freedom from pride was in accountability, was with people. And there had to come a point where I had to open up myself to other people. And it was scary. It freaked me out. But that was the only place that I found freedom. Now, in my situation, what happened was is that God had to humble me. I didn't open myself up. And eventually he had to do it for me. And it wasn't pretty. But he did what was necessary to rescue me from my pride and to build the image of his son into me. But I feel like there's an opportunity here today that we get to say, okay, I can actually open myself up before the Lord does it for me. So maybe some of us here are sitting, struggling with pride. Maybe some of us here, we're protecting ourselves. We're scared to open ourselves up to those around us. Maybe some of us here are worried, if I open up, what is going to happen? What is the consequence to me opening up to others? And I want to encourage us right now. Could we just, you in your own words, just say, Holy Spirit, would you come, show me those areas, and would you help me to open up my life to those around me? For me, it took years. It took time. And still to this day, it's still every day, it's a fight. But in being open and accountable in my life, that fight becomes easier daily to reflect him. Just take a moment now. Let's just take that moment just to trust the Lord to come speak.
Good morning. I thought Michael did such a wonderful job of painting a picture of humility and actually painting of the way that Jesus submits to the Father and the Holy Spirit submits to Jesus. And so God is a God of order. God's a God who puts everything together. And just as God the Father has a plan and a purpose, and then Jesus submits to the plan of the Father and the Holy Spirit submits to Jesus and only tells what he hears and sees Jesus doing and saying. And then he's created the angels, and then he's created us, and he's created families, and he's created husbands and wives and children. And so at the end of the day, God's put together this whole wonderful structure which flows from God to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, to the angels, to the apostles, to the elders, to the deacons, to the saints, to husbands and wives and families and children. And I was just thinking, like, how do we know whether we are actually humble and whether we are actually reflecting Jesus properly? And I think a wonderful way of knowing whether I'm actually humble like Jesus is am I submitted and am I following? Or am I critical and not following? And so I just want to read the scripture, and I hope this is all right, guys. I thought you created such a wonderful platform actually for us to have a look at our hearts and to go, am I really submitted? Am I really humble or am I prideful? And so I just want to go to the scripture in Peter, and it says, yeah, Peter writing, first he speaks about elders, and then he speaks to the... He says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in proper time you may exalt, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so in the world, we've currently got this thing, we call it postmodernism, or we call it anti-structuralism, which is basically taking every form of authority and turning it on its head. And so the husband is no longer head of the wife. We can't even like say that anymore. And children isn't submitted to their parents anymore. And so are you following those that the Lord has put over you in humility and submitting yourself, or are you resisting and being critical? And I think that's how we can examine our hearts. Do you here as the saints of the Lord, are you submitted and following the elders, your community leaders? Wives, are you loving your husbands and submitting under them and following? Children, are you following your parents? Or are we critical or are we rebelling against them? Because it's as we come under this authority and the structure of the Lord Jesus Christ that his grace and his humility flows through us and his power is made available to us. Is that clear? So maybe close your eyes right now and examine your hearts. Examine your hearts to those that the Lord has put over you in the Lord. Are you carrying criticalness on how the elders are leading the meeting, or do you think you can do better? On the preaching that is coming, or do you think you can do better? On the way your husband is leading you, or do you think you can do better? On the way as children your parents are leading you, or do you think you can do better? Because if you think you can do better, then maybe you're not reflecting the humility that Christ requires of us to reflect him as he offered himself in humility and obedience to Jesus on the cross. And if you've got anything of that in you, anything of that self-gain, self-interest, self-preservation, then I would say this morning, there's a great opportunity for us to bring our hearts before the Lord and to repent of those thoughts and those ideas and to commit ourselves to following Jesus in his example of submission and obedience, even to death on the cross. And so what I want to do right now is I want to pray with us. And what you can do with me is you can, in humility, repent before the Lord and say to the Lord, I'm sorry. Because God has put these structures in place to care for us and to lead us and to guide us so that we can be in unity and reflect a body to the world in love. So why don't we pray together? Can I ask that we stand together? So maybe just reach out your hands in front of you. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning, I want to repent of pride in my heart, of criticalness in my heart, of thinking of myself more highly than what I ought. I want to ask for you to forgive me where I've sinned against you and against your body. Help me to see myself in the right light. Help me to be a good follower, submitting to my leaders, to my parents, to God, and lead and guide us. in all humility, so that you can exalt us. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.